Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Worcester Reports. This is Tony Coppell, and I'm exhilarated to tell you that Lauriane is back on air and will be doing Ways to Grow in God a little later in the program. We have an interview for you from a friend of ours who is very special. Her name is Rihanna. We'll introduce her in more depth shortly. But first, I want to do a pitch for this program, for CWCP Radio, for the Worcester Reports, and also for the other program that we do on Wednesday nights, archived recordings of Good News in the Morning, going back to about from 2001 onwards. We're up to 2007 at the moment, all apologetics with the Reverend Dr. Alan Churchill. We want to get more people listening to these programs. There aren't too many at the moment, although over time people will latch onto the podcasts. But if you are listening today, please don't just finish listening at some stage and then say, okay, that was good, but then go and get on with whatever else you're going to do. We're going to ask your help. If you think that it's a program that would interest one of your friends, somebody that you know anywhere in the world, then please introduce them to it. Send them the link to the program or the link to CWCP Radio. If you do that, then they can see all the other podcasts that are there. Secondly, if you didn't like the program or you thought it could be improved in some way, let us know. There's a place on CWCP Radio website for feedback and comments, and we would love to hear from you. So far, we're encouraged because all the feedback we've had, all of it, has been positive, and that's why we know that the quality of the programs is good. But we're still not reaching as many people as we think we really want to reach, both in South Africa and in Canada and other parts of the world. So help us. Be part of the team. We won't pay you any money, but it'll give you some satisfaction. And pass on these one or more of these programs to friends. It doesn't take a lot of effort, but they hopefully will then pass it on to their friends. And that's the way things grow. So we would love you to join us in this enterprise. We've done programs now for nearly a year, weekly, with a brand new interview every single time. This takes quite a lot of effort, although speaking personally, I love doing the interviews, so it's a fun way of making an effort, and I certainly intend to continue and will do, even if our listening numbers are not all that high. And I say that because over time, other people will discover the programs just by chance. I have a long history of working in the internet, and I know that's the way things work. You're always disappointed by what happens in the short term, but you're always surprised by what happens in the longer term. And now it's time for today's interview with Rihanna van Wyk. She is actually married to somebody that we interviewed earlier. I won't say who it is because she talks about him in the program, but you may be able to figure it out. She is a major figure in our church, Worcester Christian Church, and most of what she's going to be talking about is her ministry to children. And those of you who know us at all know that that is the driving force in our lives and the reason that we are here in South Africa. So I went to see Rihanna to learn, and I learnt. Let me introduce her to you. Rihanna van Wyk is a friend. Actually, I know her husband, Carlo, better than I know Rihanna, but I'm getting to know her. And that's one of the reasons I'm here talking to her. Welcome to CWCP Radio, Rihanna.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
About 2 weeks ago, you sent a message to Lorianne because you knew she wasn't feeling too good. And you said you just heard this song from Bethel Music.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought it might cheer her up.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the song?
Yeah, it's To Raise Hallelujah.
Yes, and it's a brand new song that had come to them because they were praying for a young boy called Jackson, and they thought he was going to die.
Yes.
And then the worship leader felt this song coming out of him.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a spontaneous thing.
Yes.
And we watched the video several times, actually, and we were really touched by it. And so we've spread it around a few other places. And it's being watched in the prison in Bronfly.
Wow.
And I also broadcast it on this program a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And we loved it. And I'm just saying that because you're the sort of person who would do something like that. You would just feel in your heart you want to reach out to someone, in this case, Lorianne. And you probably thought, well, maybe she'll like the song.
Mm.
And I want to tell you that it had a big effect.
Wow.
And it was just what she needed to hear at the time. And we loved the song.
Mm.
And then Marius Rabi played it in church last Sunday.
Yes.
So it's got around. I think he probably got it from you as well.
I hope so.
See, you're a woman of influence. Now, you head up the Kinderkirk at Worcester Christian Church.
Mm.
And I want to ask you right off, what is it that motivates you to focus on children's ministry? It's not the only ministry you're involved in, but it's certainly an important one. Why children?
Yeah, children is very, they want to listen. They are open for the word of God. They are honest. They are like sponges, just soaking up what you say. And they believe without doubting. And they're wonderful children. People to be around. God says we must be like children. Those who are like children is going to get a kingdom because we have to believe in God without questioning. We have to, they will jump and just know that you will catch them. So that makes it very special to work with children.
I've heard it said that it's one of the biggest mission fields in the world.
Wow, I can imagine because the children is so open to the word and that's and the belief. If you start early and you lay the foundation, you hooked on Jesus for life. For sure.
Yeah. Mm. And you're trying to hook them.
Yes.
Well, judging by the numbers of people who stream out of church after the worship on a Sunday to come to your classes, you and your associates, I think you're being extremely effective at Worcester Christian Church.
Oh, and that's Holy Spirit in that just helped me because when I started, somebody told me I have to have creativity and I asked Holy Spirit and I said, well, I can't do it. If you want, it's God who put me in that situation and position. So then he must provide for me. And the way that he helped me to give the word in a creativity way is overwhelming. I mean, I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for him. He did it, and I'm grateful for what he. And when you can explain the word to a child in very simple terms, God breaks it open for yourself, and you see Jesus from another side, and wow, and you believe. And your faith is strengthened because of what you see and how you must break that word open for that child. Not to use only word, but to he must see it. He must do it. We usually do something creative. So he must see it. They must experience it. We go on outreaches. So it's a very practical way to involve the children. It's not just passive listening, receiving. It's a involvement, it's a interaction with the living word.
Unfortunately, children's church or Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, is in many churches around the world, it's not well funded. It's the thing that they drop first if finances get a little tough. And this is so, so sad. But I have the impression that here at Worcester Christian Church, it's not like that.
No, it's really for Johan Schoenraad, who's the leader pastor there. He is really, he has a passion and he knows that the children is very important. So we will never cut our funds. But he will actually, at one stage, I wanted to cut on the classes because we didn't have enough locations to help to accommodate the children. And I thought maybe I must take the 3 to 5 years and leave them in church and work with the older children. And Johan Schoenraad told me, no, you're not going to leave the 3 to 5 year old children out, because he believes and he stands firmly behind me, and he believes that God wants to use that children, and he does. He used those children because they are so open and enthusiastic about God, and they're just open in a way that the older people don't do, the older children don't do.
Imagine for a moment that I was a parent and I had a 7-year-old or 8-year-old child, and you were talking to me about the Kinderkirk.
Mm.
Describe it in the way you would to somebody like that, the kind of teaching that you do and the format.
Yeah, I would say tell the person that we are focusing on Jesus in everything that we do, and the classes, we have 5 classes, and it's teachers that is prepared, and we do activities, and the parents are also invited to be there if they want to see what we do, for even for the 7-year-olds, because some of them, they don't want to be left alone. But it's very creative and it's active and it's a secure environment, and I expose them to ministry and outreaches, and it's not boring. It's life.
It's also a fact that I've heard of this in India, that you convert the children, or you bring them to Christ, and then they evangelize their parents.
Yes,
have you seen any of that happening here?
Yes, yeah. We had the 3 to 5 year old class, to be precise, is that we did the armor of God, and this child went home. And he asked, or she asked, I don't even know, one of the of my associates told me about it, asked the parent about this armor of God, and the parent didn't know. And the parent came to the church and asked for information about the armor of God. So that was quite it was a revelation that the older people don't even know that. So the little ones we can use to go and preach and spread the gospel.
This is a difficult one for you, but let's experiment here for a moment. Can you put into words how you think God views ministry to children?
Oh, well, I would say it's essential, it's important, and he doesn't look down on a child. He even used him in the Bible. There's so many examples of how God used the little ones and the young children, so he would actually rather go to them than our older people want to put walls in front of, say, I can't do that. The children will just go for it, and Jesus knows that. He will reel them in.
So is he providing you with the resources you need in terms of the teachers? Do you have enough teachers?
There's always a room for more teachers, more assistants. I think in every church there's people who, even the 3 to 5 year olds, I think is a very difficult age group, because they don't know how to handle the little ones and how to bring over the word, although I try to help them, but it's difficult, so they rather want to talk to older children, like me and you, but the little ones, you have to do a little bit more, and it takes a lot of your energy. So we always need more people. I think people, teachers who are in spirit, who can really connect to Holy Spirit, those that I have are very special. I've got really very good assistants and teachers at the moment, and I praise God for everyone who comes in, because they come in really to serve, and to so they're committed and they're enthusiastic, and they're always there on time, and they want to help me. If I ask that, they will stand in for one another. So I'm really very fortunate that God provides, but there is always place for more.
Do you teach the children just in Afrikaans?
Yes, unfortunately, we tried to do it bilingual, but the children's concentration is very, very short. So if you start to translate, you lose the children's concentration. So we try to get assistants who will sit with one who are English, one of the children who are English, and to translate to them, but it's very difficult. So we last year we had a curriculum who was only in Afrikaans. We had a video series that we bought with an Afrikaans, and that was difficult to interrupt and translate. Afterwards, you will try, but I experienced that the English children lose interest because of it, the majority of Afrikaans. So, unfortunately, we don't have the accommodation to put them separately. We don't have that. That's a long-term goal that we want to do, and we don't want to lose them. The English children come, and they listen, and they put through and sit through, and he's determined to listen. So that we're grateful for them.
Has the Kinderkerk been running long enough that you are now seeing some children who have come up through the Kinderkerk becoming active members in the main church?
Yeah, for sure. No, there is. And some of them move, so we don't see them in our church in the long term. Now, I really believe there's a lot of children who I don't even know, because God do things on his own. It's too many to always see what God do. So you hear from the back somebody else coming to you and tell you that happened, that, and you say, oh, really? So luckily God motivates you by giving that feedback to tell you what happens. So you're not always fortunate to see the seeds growing up. But you know, God's not silent.
You're listening to CWCP Radio, and I'm talking to Rihanna van Wyk. And she runs the Kinderkerk at Worcester Christian Church, as you've been hearing. But I suspect she does other things as well. Tell us, Rihanna, about one or two of the other ministries that you're involved in.
Yeah, I'm also involved in Avian Park. We have a Bible study group there on Tuesdays. We're from 2:45 there till 5. We have two groups there, a primary school group and then the high school group. And what I do at the children's church, I do there at Avian Park, the same lessons, the same material, same word, and that's very special to me. Pam is also there, Pam Hugo. We minister to them. We can see that they're also growing in the word, and that's very encouraging. And then I also have a ministry where I go to the elderly people at Niveris, one of the old age homes, every 2 weeks, and I bring the word to them, discussing it, and I pray for them and see healing. Very, very inspiring.
How many people in that group?
Yeah, it's 50 to 60 elderly people there, mostly women. The women are very strong. They want to sit by the word. I think the men, they are there, but they're at this stage not that high percentage coming.
So in this farming community, is it your impression that these women have only recently come to faith, or have they always had a Christian faith and they just want to learn more at this stage?
Let me say they are in their religion forever. So, but I think to just encourage them, because they're elderly people and struggling with sickness, struggling with depression, struggling with being faced with nobody come to visit them. So, it's just to bring them the word and tell them that God didn't forget about them, love them still, knows about every struggle they go through, the sickness, everything.
Mm. It's a sad fact I've discovered that if you talk to patients in hospitals, they will sometimes tell you that nobody from their church actually comes to visit them. The work you're doing there is crucial.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Now, we're talking just about you, but we mustn't be selfish. Tell us about your family, your husband and your children.
Yeah, my husband, he is...
Give him a name.
My husband is Karl van Wyk. And he's very special. He's very broad in his knowledge field. He has a farming background. He has a television editing background, photography. So he's a very widely knowledgeable person. He's very kind. He's very easy to be friends with. He knows God. He loves God. He's the head of the family. And then we have two children. Marika, my oldest child, she's married for a year now. And she's one of my teachers in the children's church, of which I'm very proud of, to know that she has also the passion of God and that she lives it out and that she has the same love for Jesus to minister, to step out and be there. And then my son, he's Andre. He went to YWAM for his DTS in Meisenberg. He's also working now at MWeb. He's in the internet and the computer stuff, and he's enjoying himself. And he's also a living light for Jesus. He's not afraid. He lives God. He preaches God. He talks God. And I'm very proud. I'm grateful to God that my whole family is loving Jesus and know him. I know they know him.
You're obviously a lady where ministry is front and center in your life. But do you ever sort of turn off the ministry tap for a little while and do something that has nothing to do with our faith, some hobby or some pastime that you're enthusiastic about?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah, at fruit time, I like to can fruit. I don't have a lot of stuff, but I gym and I run and I'm trying to be healthy. And then I want to relax with a nice film. I don't always have the time to sit with a book and read, although I love reading, but that's not always possible. So a film is something quick to do and relaxing and just letting go and just be myself and relaxed.
Are you somebody that likes to look ahead 10 years and plan what your life is going to look like then, or do you just let it happen?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't plan for it, because with God, I just know in the few years I experienced, God is turning my path as he wants it. So I'm not at the age that I'm too young that I can plan my life. I just go where God leads me. And I'm just willing to do what he wants me to do.
Thank you, Rihanna van Wyk. You have been a wonderful guest for CWCP. Thank you for opening your heart and teaching us many things about ministry to children and other ministries.
Oh, my pleasure. And,
I'm happy to know you, Rihanna.
And
Lorianne is extremely happy to know you as well.
She was very good. And I asked Lorianne last year to come and teach the children about prophetic painting. It was doxa at our church where we did the creative side of God. We gave glory to God because of the artists, how they can express themselves, their love for Jesus. And I love the prophetic, and I'm not very artistic myself, but I love it when people are exposed to different kinds of how to worship God. And I just saw this opportunity. Children are so creative. They love drawing. They love to color in. And I just asked Lorianne to give lecture on that. And they loved it. And I think we opened a new view for them about prophetic painting. So thank you, Lorianne. I appreciate it so much.
And thank you, Rihanna.
Thank you.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God, learning how God guides us, part one. My name is Lorianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we learned that we can fast from negativity. As we continue the process of rooting out lies we believe and ongoing complaints that draw us down, we become more free. We learn a higher perspective and see life with promise and hope. I hope that you are continuing to live, think, see, and speak positively. While we may encounter difficult times, we don't need to make it worse. In fact, we can receive blessings and joy even in times like those. I'm just recovering from an illness, and I was severely tested about the negativity, but it did help to remain positive. There is one commonality in all seasons, difficult and easy. That is God's faithfulness. He does not change and continues to carry you through thick and thin. We also discover the depth of God's love, since this really is all we have. We need to hear and to listen to God's voice. This is a time for learning deeper identity in Christ, where we learn that He does fulfill our deepest needs of significance and security. It's good to bring our major decisions to God. We need to make decisions every day, but we have potential to grow in these decisions. One is in how we spend our money. Another is in how we spend our free time. These resources are not endless, but while we can grow our finances, we can't gain more time. And then there are our really big decisions. Where to live? What career should we work towards? Which church or ministry do we join? If we are to marry, whom shall we marry? We all need God's help. Guidance is part of our relationship with God. Psalm 32 verse 8 gives us the promise that the Lord will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So we need to seek Him. Jesus taught that He is the shepherd and we are His sheep. He was originally speaking to country folk, but He also speaks to us today. We also must learn to know His voice. John 10 verses 3 to 4 shares that the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize His voice and come to Him. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. After He has gathered His own flock, He walks ahead of them, and they follow Him because they know His voice. We need to understand our purpose and why we were put here on earth. The first commandment is to love God, but we all have callings. Some of us will be creatives, others engineers, some pilots, others entrepreneurs. But that is not all that we are. The future possibilities are more varied than we think. God has a plan for our lives. So we are encouraged to follow the Apostle Paul's advice in Ephesians 5 verse 17. He said, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." And in Ephesians 2 verse 10, he shared, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." God has a unique job for us? Yes, He does. And it's not always to be a pastor or work in a church. Most of us are called to do something in the marketplace. You could be a godly businessman, a teacher, a writer, an astronomer, a musician, chemist, and so much more. What makes your heart sing? The prophet Jeremiah shared in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope." Nikki Gumbel shares, "God is saying, don't you realize that I really have a good plan for your life? I have prepared something wonderful. This cry from the Lord's heart came because he saw the mess his people had got themselves into when they didn't follow his plans. All around us, we see people whose lives are in a muddle. Often people say to Nikki after they've come to Christ, I wish I'd become a Christian 5 or 10 years earlier. Look at my life now. It's such a mess. If we are to find out about God's plans for us, we need to ask him about them. We make mistakes when we fail to ask God for help. We stumble on our own past mistakes, bad advice, and confusion. Sometimes we try to please our parents rather than follow the path we're meant to lead. One example is Vincent van Gogh's physician, Dr. Gachet, whose father wanted him to become a doctor, but his dream was to be an artist. And then there's the case of rebellion. How many of us pull a Jonah and run from God and end up in the belly of a fish? I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. Isaiah shared God's heart in Isaiah 30, verses 1 to 2. What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade. Pharaoh, in this example, is a symbol for leaning on worldly help rather than God's help. Jesus led the way by consistently following the Holy Spirit. In Luke 4, verse 10 and John 5, verse 19, he said that he only did what he saw the Father doing. He also knew his purpose from the beginning, although he also had to trust the Father. When I was baptized as an adult, I was given a scripture by my then pastor, Lori Barber. It's Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek your will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. This has been one of my guiding words, so I return to these verses often. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust in him, and he will help you, is another good verse. This guidance works whether it's in finding a life partner, ministry partner, job, or where to live. Nikki Lee met his wife Scylla in university. During that time, he came to faith, but Scylla did not at that time. He wanted to pursue his relationship with her and ask God for advice. He prayed that if the relationship were to continue, that she would come to faith by the end of the term. On the last day of the term, they attended a party, and at the end of it, Scylla asked Nikki to go for a drive. She blurted out random directions, which brought them to a place that had great significance to her. She turned to her boyfriend and asked to be led to Jesus. At the very end of the term, just before midnight, Nikki had his prayer answered. Sometimes the answer is gradual. Other times the guidance is instant, although it takes time to work through the details. God's guidance, as described in the Alpha Course, comes down to the five CSs. This isn't C.S. Lewis, but rather commanding scripture, compelling spirit, common sense, counsel of the saints, and circumstantial signs. We'll journey through the first two. Commanding scripture usually involves general guidance. Some general guidance shows that we can be sure about certain things that are wrong. Here's one example. If a married man falls in love with another woman and wants to leave his wife, can this be God's will? No, he's not being led by God. It says in Exodus 20, verse 14, that you shall not commit adultery. Another example relates to the justification for paying our taxes. We're shown in Romans 13, verse 7, that paying taxes is our civic duty, and what is due to the government should be paid. And then there is specific guidance through scripture illumination. There are many examples in church history of missionaries who were given their calling and direction through one verse. The original call and context was to Abraham, but others had a similar call to leave their homes and trust God. They were given comfort in the Lord's call to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. This same call was repeated in Genesis 18 when Abraham had moved but still had not yet left his country. This was a common call to the Irish missionary monks that traveled all over Europe from the 7th to the 11th centuries. However, we need to be discerning when seeking scripture illumination. Nikki Gumbel says sometimes a verse seems to almost leap off a page at us, but don't just open a Bible at random and expect a message. It can get very confusing. Imagine if you open a Bible to the verse where Judas decides to hang himself, and then you open to the verse where Jesus says, go and do likewise. That is not God's leading. It's scripture confusion. Let's go back to general guidance. There are scriptures saying that we should marry a Christian and not someone of another faith. One of these is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul advises, don't team up with those who were unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How could light live with darkness? But the Bible doesn't say specifically who to marry. God will guide you another way for that. Paul also advises about whether you should change your job when you become a Christian. He generally advises not to. Job changes do happen in Scripture, but it's more common to remain in the same job with kindness and influence. Peter and some of the disciples changed their profession of sorts. They were fishermen, and then they became fishers of people. Levi the tax collector left his job for Jesus, but others were called to live faithful lives where they were. Paul advises in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 to 21, to basically bloom where you were planted, unless you were called out of your job into something better. Paul was speaking about being an indentured slave or servant, which in his days was not like the brutal human trafficking of current days. We can liken the scripture to employment. Paul says, yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you, but if you get a chance to be free, take it. Not everyone is called to be a pastor, priest, or missionary, at least not full-time. One of the leaders of her Afrikaner church believed that she was called to full-time ministry in music and teaching. Her outreach has touched many people, and she was the first speaker we saw in our church. I still remember her talk about the color purple and our identity in Christ. It tied in with a vision that I was given three times in our church. Jesus is indeed calling us into our true identity. However, that doesn't mean that your calling is to go into long-term full-time ministry. Sometimes it's for a season, and other times it's a part-time thing. All of us are called into ministry, not just those who are clergy. It turned out that Erica's call included her very much needed medical skills. I applaud her for having a rethink and confirming that she has more than one ministry. Caring medical professionals in their places are indeed fulfilling a calling. I have great respect for the South African doctors who have listened and treated me over the past year. Nicky Gumbel has his own calling story. He comes from a family of lawyers, barristers in particular. He still has a very logical way of describing faith and life stories. He had 15 different occasions where he was spoken to about leaving the law profession to become an Anglican priest. Many of these were various scriptures and circumstances that led him to his final decision to say yes. He was finally given a prophetic word by someone later that gave confirmation to his call. Compelling spirit is the second CS. Sometimes the Holy Spirit seems to grab us through dreams, impressions during prayer, godly desires, and supernatural enlightenment of our minds and hearts. The Holy Spirit works in different ways. Some are quiet, some are not. Sometimes this compelling comes in the way that strikes our consciences. The Apostle Paul tried to go to two provinces in what is now present-day Turkey to preach the gospel and minister to the people there. Twice they were given strong leadings and said no to going there. While these areas later accepted the gospel, God had other plans at that time. It was then that Paul was given a strong dream of a man from Macedonia, and he knew that they must go there instead. Read Acts 16 and you'll have the story. If Paul had not listened, he would not have met key future leaders in the church, like Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. And there are more examples. So listen, God actually speaks to us when we pray. Imagine going to a doctor and sharing a list of current and past illnesses along with all their symptoms. It's like you're reading a shopping list. Then you decide at the end of the list that it's time to leave, so you thank the doctor and leave without hearing what they have to say. Can you imagine how that doctor feels? They wanted to help, but they weren't given the opportunity. So if we do stop and listen, after we share our hearts, what will we hear? God often speaks in impressions. These can be a thought that comes into our mind or a picture. Tony gets thoughts, I get pictures, although sometimes we can get both. These need to be tested, since the thoughts or pictures aren't always from God. Sometimes they're from ourselves or somewhere else. Does the impression promote love? Is it in line with the Bible? Does it lift up Jesus? Paul Cowley is a man who God has inspired to work with inmates, the military, and the homeless. His past life of brokenness brought him through prison, the military, two divorces, and finally to a life of Christ and a loving family. He has encouraged many inmates, ex-offenders, and us personally when we drove him around on a visit to Ottawa back in 2006. He shared in a recent Alpha Course video about how he was given an impression to bless his complaining, bitter father. His dad was also sick, and he helped care for him in hospital. When it was time to send him home from London to Manchester, Paul was given an impression on his heart on how to bless his dad. He brought him to Euston Station, put him on the train, and sat him down. Right in the middle of the carriage, he says he had this overwhelming feeling of love for his dad. It was really weird. He almost started to cry in the carriage. Paul looked at him and felt really sad for him that they never really had had a relationship. He remembers having a meal with his father. All that stuff came up for him. And in his mind came this idea to upgrade his ticket to a first-class ticket to Manchester. Paul bought a very expensive single first-class ticket back to Manchester. He walked him to the first-class compartment, sat him down, and kissed him on the head. Then as Paul stood on the platform with his wife, Amanda, she asked, "What on earth are you doing?" He said, "You know what? I have no idea. I just really wanted to see my dad happy." And as Paul looked at him through the window of the carriage, he saw his father take his hat off and put it on the table. He hit the recline button and went back into his seat. Then he clicked his fingers and some of the waiters brought him a cup of tea and biscuits. And he got his newspaper out and started to read it. And as he was doing that, he just turned to look at Paul out of the window. He had the biggest smile on his face that you could ever see. It was like every birthday, every Christmas had all come together, and he was beaming. That was the last time that Paul ever saw his father. 3 weeks later, he died of a massive heart attack. Paul then thought, was that me making up an idea that I might buy him that ticket? Or was that God guiding me? Paul has real peace with his father now. Despite years of heartache and grief, Paul's image of his dad is of his beaming face from the train carriage as he drove off. This is a beautiful example of how a loving impression that's acted on can bring great blessings from God. God sometimes speaks to us by giving us a strong desire to do something. An example of this is from Philippians 2, verse 13. God works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. This was a scripture that Nicky Gumbel battled with for some time. When he first came to faith, he didn't want to be a priest. Eventually, he came round and he was very happy to be one. In time, he felt that it was all he wanted to do. When God gives you a strong desire to do something, it doesn't mean that he will give you your worst fear. It just means that he has something for you that you will love, and he will help you prepare your heart for it. Tony also experienced this change of heart three times. The first time was after I encouraged him for weeks to go on a short-term mission in Western Kenya. We were invited to Migori, Kenya, to plant the Alpha Course and my own Early Ways to Grow in God teachings. After a month or so, the two of us went on a Daniel fast, which is to be vegetarian for 8 days. Many people also prayed over us, and yet, Tony believed he had not yet heard from God on whether to go with me. He kept saying no. He told me it was my thing and not his, even though this particular trip was tailored to have him encourage and teach Alpha leadership, which was and is his heart. He didn't see that aspect of it at the time. So I eventually put my heart's desire and what I believed was God's call back into God's hands. Only God can make it happen. I'm not God. I went away for a weekend to Belleville, Ontario, and stayed with a close family friend. That morning I prayed with a ministry team member and shared my heart. I finally felt peace. That afternoon, Tony called me with a different tone in his voice. He wasn't harsh, but rather full of joy. He came right out with, "I have something to tell you. We are going to Kenya." I couldn't believe my ears. Apparently, Holy Spirit spoke to him and changed his mind within a few minutes. Everything finally made sense to him. What the Holy Spirit said to him floored me. He said, "Hey, you, your wife gave up her missionary career to marry you. The least you can do is to make her dream come true and go to Kenya short term with her." It was like Tony was hit with a cricket bat. He hadn't always recognized the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. It takes time to recognize his voice. Tony went through a similar process again before applying for Harvest School after his retirement, Although he had two prophetic words spoken over him about a new ministry that would start a new chapter of his life, he relented and applied for Harvest School, along with my own reapplication from the year earlier. It was the right time, and Tony was willing to go through the experience. He thought it may enhance the different lay ministries he already did in Ottawa. There's nothing wrong with his ministries. It's just that God had a new season for him, as well as me, as a couple. It was time for us to jump into ministry together. Tony's experience in Harvest School began with resistance, since Heidi Baker spoke a bit too soon on the long-term call for his comfort. She was to speak on our identity and calling, which is an essential foundation of our faith, let alone ministry. However, there were so many young students keen on a long-term call that Heidi responded to the yearning. So Tony was annoyed, and he told me that he didn't want to be a missionary. This upset me, and I grew very sad and quiet. People noticed, but I didn't know what to say in my frustration. I felt like I was stuck, but all I could do was stay still while the Holy Spirit refined my own heart. Through the school, he learned to speak in tongues, recognize prophetic words, release them in ministry, and he grew comfortable in stopping for the one. He's great at that. By the end of the school, he told our house parents that he was ready to be a long-term, full-time missionary. Isn't it amazing how hearts can change in God's leading? Tony's a lot more fulfilled now in this new season, even though he enjoyed his last season in Ottawa. God gave Tony the same desire that was in line with his life purpose, to encourage, uplift, and empower people. The only difference was a different location, from Ottawa, Canada, to Worcester, South Africa. All his skills, wisdom, and knowledge would be used to teach and in other practical ways. His love of music, internet, and prison ministry would all be used. The ministry to children, however, would be a stretch, but that's another story. So God speaks through Scripture, either directly or indirectly. We need to know the whole Bible and its message. Pray as you read, and listen. Understand the message in its original context by learning about the cultures of the time. But also read the Scripture again and ask Holy Spirit how He would speak to you. Sometimes it's a message of love, wisdom, and peace. Sometimes it's conviction of sin that leads to changing your mind and coming to Him. Sometimes it's the direction leading. It's a wonderful adventure. And then there is the compelling of the Holy Spirit. We shared the examples of the Irish missionary monks, Nicky Gumbel and Tony. The Holy Spirit speaks in so many supernatural ways. We'll share more about that in our next broadcast, as well as common sense, counsel of other prayerful people, and circumstantial signs. Lord, thank you for the many ways that you guide us. Thank you for not leaving us in limbo, but patiently drawing us to our purpose here on earth. Thank you for your wonderful plans for us and how you put love in our hearts. I ask that you would open our eyes and ears to hear and see you and your direction in Scripture and begin to recognize your voice. Help us to journey and experience the other ways we can hear and see you through your Holy Spirit and the Bible. Surround and fill us with your love, in Jesus' name. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. I'm
Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, but never beyond your reach. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days.
Rich Mullins, Step by Step. Last Saturday, Lauriane and I went to a very special wedding. Actually, if you've been listening to our program for a few weeks, you already met the two people who got married, Keisha Buca and Pastor Alexis Hakizimana. It was in a vineyard in the middle of nowhere, actually, in the Vinc Riviere area, on the land owned by Leroux and Furie Vignerons. So, right from the start, it was a different wedding. They had a bamboo gate beneath which the happy couple made their vows, and in front of which we, the congregation, coming from many different parts of the world, just enjoyed the moment, enjoyed seeing Keisha and Alex being linked together, together with the Holy Spirit, of course, and starting on what will be, I'm sure, a magnificent future in Rwanda, where Pastor Alex has his ministry, and Keisha, an Irish missionary from Irish Western Cape in Robertson, is going to join him for that. And one of the areas they'll be working in is reconciliation, something really important in the world today. Here's just a little taste of the wedding. I'm going to play a little bit from their wedding vows, and then I will play the song Worthy of It All. the guitarist who'd come specially to play for Keisha, his name is Greg, played this song. It was one of two songs that he played. He played this one. It's a very special start to the proceedings. So let's have that song just to remind us of that special day in the sun. And after that, it'll be the end of the Worcester Reports for today. God bless you all. Tune in next week.
His work of pioneering a discipleship school that Alex helps to lead in Rwanda. God showing off his faithfulness to give good gifts to those who love him. He's showing off his reliability to fulfill the desires of our hearts. Alex, you have been the desire of Keisha's heart, and God is fulfilling that desire through you. You are a gift from God to Keisha. Today, we're celebrating his creative work by making a man and a woman. The fact that God created us to live in community, that we were to experience a taste of what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit experience in their community. And we experience that through marriage. His desire is to meet with us in this celebration. Jesus proved that by not only showing up at a wedding in bodily form, but making sure the celebration continued. And how much more must he delight in today's celebration, since this couple's greatest desire and proven pattern of delight is to honor his name? Will you listen to her advice? Will you slow down when she tells you to? Will you trust her decisions? Will you comfort her, keep her in sickness and in health? And will you make sure you keep yourself pure wholeheartedly to her in every way, so long as you both shall live? The answer is, I will.
I will.
Good answer. That's a good answer. Keisha, will you have Alex to be your wedded husband, to live together in marriage? Will you love him and respect him, believe in him, and tell him you believe in him? Will you comfort him, honor and keep him, in sickness and in health? And forsaking all other men, keep yourself wholeheartedly devoted to him in every way, so long as you both shall live? The answer is, I will.
I will.
You're worthy of it all.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.